Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. Again, 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about how Satan attacks us. We do have an enemy that we see in the Word of God, just several passages that warn us about this enemy, that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour whoever he may, that he is an enemy of our souls, that he tries to still to kill and to destroy us through his lies and through all of his schemes that he is so cunning at. And we talked Friday about one of those schemes, and we said that he tries to get us to stop at the cross, just to see the gospel as nothing more than Christ's death for you and me. And there are many people out there, when asked what the gospel is, they'll simply respond with this: Christ died for my sins so that I can have a place in heaven when I die. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants you to believe about the gospel, because if you believe only that, then you're going to miss this life that he has available for you here and now. That's why the gospel message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came that you might have life. Well, when you receive this life, when you are made alive together in Christ, there's something else that happens. You're given a brand new identity. The Bible calls that child of God. You've been declared to be a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's pretty powerful.
I'll say.
Well, the next way that Satan attacks us is in our identity. He tries to get us to adopt other labels, other than the fact that we are called children of God, that we have a new nature in Jesus Christ. So we readily buy into that. We call ourselves Calvinists. We call ourselves Arminians. We call ourselves Charismatics or Pentecostals, or we call ourselves Methodists or Baptists or Presbyterians. We have all sorts of labels that we adopt and that we put on our lapels and say, look at who I am. But all of those come way short of what God says about us, the fact that we are children of God. And then if those labels aren't enough, then we label ourselves by our activities. You go up and you introduce yourself, and, you know, the first thing that you ask somebody is, what do you do? And they come back and say, well, I'm a businessman, or I'm a housewife, or I'm a model, or I'm a doctor, or, you know, all of these sort of things, as if those were important labels. In God's economy, there are only two identities. You are either a sinner or you're a saint. And if you're a saint, you're a child of God. You were a sinner, you were saved by grace, and now you have a new identity. Embrace that. Embrace it to the full. And when you do, you'll be able to live out on a day-to-day basis what it truly means to be a child of God.
Yes, indeed. That's Basic Gospel. And if you have a question about your identity in Christ, we'd love to discuss it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If there's some other issue you're facing and you'd like to discuss that, why, that's why we're here. 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jerome, who is listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing well.
Great. I love you guys. I thank you for your ministry, and I will continue to support you. I have a question for you. I am secure in my understanding of forgiveness. I know without a doubt that I'm forgiven. In reading James 5:15, I just wanted to ask and see if I'm in the right, headed in the right track with my understanding of the scripture. It says, if they have sinned, they will be, not that they have, they will be forgiven. Now, I notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say if they confess, they will be forgiven. And it doesn't say if they ask for forgiveness, they will be forgiven. Am I understanding this correctly in believing that if a person is weak, either spiritually or physically, call the elders. They come, they pray, and if the prayer of faith is prayed, the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven based on the finished work of Christ. Am I on the right track there?
Well, Jerome, let's try to put it in context and try to see exactly what James is getting at. When we look at the word forgiveness, and when we read that passage, you will be forgiven, we're thinking that God is going to be the one providing the forgiveness. And I think in the context, it's talking about forgiveness one to another. Okay. I think it's more of a horizontal relationship that James is talking about. I think the context of the letter bears that out. If you go back to chapter 4, for example, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So there's conflicts that we have as people. And these conflicts don't necessarily disappear within the body of Christ. Once we become Christians, you know, we're all at peace and at harmony with one another. That's just not the case, is it?
Right.
We have conflicts. We have rough patches. We have things that we have to deal with. And sometimes the nature of those things are so severe that it even causes physical ramifications. If you've ever been involved in a church split, Jerome, I think you'll probably know what I'm talking about. Those can become brutal. And so he's saying, if you will come together and if you will confess your sins one to another, then you can see forgiveness start to take place within the body. And that's where the healing actually comes from. When we learn to forgive one another, that's when things start to heal. Our relationships start to heal and get mended, get brought back together the way they're supposed to be.
And that makes sense to me, because the very next verse, he says, like you said, confess your sins one to another. So within the context of the body. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what he's saying. Richard, do you have any?
I think you've got it exactly. That whole section there, we tend to, most of the interpreters have used the word sick, and it really means more, are they weak? Weak in faith, weak in hope. It's a relationship problem. And he's dealing with those relationship issues.
Okay.
Does that help, Jerome?
Yes, sir, it does. And many people try to use this scripture to say, well, see, you know, you still have to ask. And I go, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But the
confession is confess your sins to each other. Now, that doesn't mean, Jerome, that you go to the church and you lay out all your sins before the body. It means if you've sinned against a brother, you go to that brother and confess that sin to that brother. And then that brother can respond back to you and say, in light of what Christ has accomplished, in light of Christ's finished work, the fact that he's already forgiven that sin and he's forgiven me, then let's be reconciled as brothers in Christ.
Okay, amen. Amen. Well, I sure thank you, guys, and I appreciate you and love you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for your call today, Jerome, and thanks for your kind words. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book that we're offering this month, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. Would love for you to have it. You hang on, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you.
1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. And, of course, Bob, as you mentioned, Operation Screwtape is available to our listeners. And it's available for a gift of any amount. And if you'd like to make a gift to support Basic Gospel, and we certainly hope that you will, if this broadcast has found a place in your day, if it's found a place in your heart and your life, it's beneficial to you, we encourage you to stand with us. We need your help because we are a listener-supported ministry. And to request your copy of the Operation Screwtape and make your gift, you can do that either of two ways, 1-800-727-2828. Our operator's on duty up until 6 o'clock Central Time today, 1-800-727-2828. Or you can visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. And we certainly need to hear from listeners in Indianapolis to our great affiliate there, WBRI, also from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WWNL. If we could hear from some of our listeners in those two areas, that would be so meaningful to us. We need to know that you're listening. We need to know that that the program is ministering to you. So if it is, would you drop us a note and let us know? And we would certainly love for you to join with us as a Basic Gospel partner.
Absolutely. And again, you can do that either of two ways, by calling 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or visiting us online at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go up to Calgary and talk to Don, listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Don.
Hello there. I'd just like to make a comment on the previous caller there. One thing that we've just been discussing recently in our group was, when you realize that you are forgiven, then you have the power to forgive others. And that kind of flows that way, and
absolutely,
we kind of all agreed on
yes.
that. Yeah. But our question with this, we had three items here, and it's talking about the same subject, about who are sinners. And our question was, John the Baptist said to his disciples that when Jesus walked away, that behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then in Romans it says that the law was nailed to the cross. When there is no law, there is no sin. And the third one was that we came up with was that in Hebrews, Jesus is our perfect high priest. So when the high priest is active, no one can be called sinners. So we're divided in saying, then how can God call us sinners? I know we see each other as sinners because we transgress against each other. But how can God call us sinners? We're giving you three scriptures.
Well, I would just point you to Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So our identity was handed down to us from Adam and Eve. So they were created in the image of God. They sinned against God by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were made sinners at that point, and death came to them. They were separated from God, and so they have passed that identity on to every single person since that time. Now, that identity changes through new birth. When we're born again of the Spirit of God, we are given the right to be called children of God, and God sends His Spirit to live inside of us, and His Spirit bears witness with our human spirits that we are indeed children of God. It calls out, it enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. So there's an identity change that takes place through new birth. And so we were once sinners, we were saved by grace, now we are children of God, saints by calling.
Oh, yeah. I think our understanding of that was a little bit different. Before the cross, of course, we're all sinners because we had the sin nature of Adam imputed to the whole world. But at the cross, it says here, like you were just quoting Romans chapter 5, that we're understanding Romans chapter 5, it says just before verse 19 there, it says that the gift of righteousness was given to everybody after the cross. So because the first Adam imputed sin, the sin of unbelief to everybody, Jesus, the second Adam, imputed righteousness to everybody. Now, isn't that a correct understanding? That's what we were kind of understanding.
Well, in verse 1 of Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians as well, it talks about the fact that we receive this gift of righteousness through faith. Those that are in Adam, lost, who would bear the name sinner, they have not responded to the gospel message by faith. Therefore, they have not been justified or declared righteous in His sight. So from God's vantage point, when He looks down, He sees the world divided into two groups. One group is a group with Adam as the family head, and that group bears the name sinners. Then He sees another group with Jesus Christ as the family head, And that is made up of people that have been rescued out of the first group. And those folks have been declared righteous. Their forgiveness has been received by them, and they are given that new identity. So there's this transfer that needs to take place, this rescue. Somebody going from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And in this kingdom of light, that we have all of the things that Jesus provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
I see. I think we're still understanding that it's from God's grace. It says there in Romans 5:17 that it is the gift of righteousness, and the gift is, in the Old Testament terms, isn't something that you can refuse, where in our modern-day Western civilization, of course, a gift, you have to receive it. But our understanding was it doesn't need to be received. It was imputed to us the same as sin before the cross. So we're thinking that everybody in the world is righteous because Jesus made everybody righteous, not with our requirement to believe it.
Well, that would lead to universal salvation. That's the logical conclusion of that is universalism, and I don't think the Word of God teaches that.
I think it's universal redemption is what we mean, because universalism teaches that everybody is going to heaven, but at some point, at some event in the future. So our understanding was that before the cross, of course, Jesus would have been a universalist, because he was planning on, I think he got the heathen for his inheritance, it says, and of course at the cross he knew he was going to get that. So if he knew at the cross everybody was going to, be given eternal life because he got the heathen for his inheritance, by what he did, that would be a future event. But because universalism says it's a future event, like now we know it's a past event, so it's not universalism, I don't think. Not as far as I see it.
Yeah. Well, if you're saying everybody's already saved, then that's
no, not by saved. Saved and redeemed are opposites almost. Like saved is when you find out truth about God, you start getting saved because it's for your soul. But redeemed was done between Christ and Jesus, or between the Father and Jesus. So that's something we had no part of, and there's nothing we can do about it. It was given to us as a free gift. That's our understanding of that. Would you say that was correct?
Well, it's a free gift. It's by grace through faith.
But it's the faith of Christ. Because I know another thing.
This is a big can of worms and can take up a whole lot of time. I said, I don't want to go down that universalism road. I don't think that's what Scripture leads to.
Of course, it doesn't.
Yeah, so I think there are those who are in Adam, and if they're still in Adam, they're lost. And then there are those who are in Christ, and those who are in Christ are declared to be children of God. So let's just leave it there, my friend. Okay.
Okay. Well, I might ask you another question another time about being in Christ, because that's another big dispute we're having in our group about who's in Christ.
Okay.
We'll call back on that.
Okay. Well, that'll be great. You call back. We'll look forward to it. Okay.
Thanks, Don.
All right. Let's go to Lori in Calgary as well. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm preparing for leading a Bible study in 2 Corinthians 4, and I need to know from you, I've really been trying to look this up. What is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Is that hard?
Well, I don't think there's really much of a difference.
Really?
You know, a kingdom is where a king reigns.
Right.
And so, certainly in heaven, we know God reigns there.
Yes.
And we know God is bringing his reign to the earth through the body of Christ. He is ruling and reigning in us as his children. This corporate body of Christ. So we're experiencing that rule here and now. It's invisible to the world, but there's going to be a point in time where it will be made visible, where the kingdom of heaven will be set up here as the kingdom of God.
Okay, heaven comes first, and it will come down. Is that it, the second coming?
Well, we see in Revelation, for example, toward the end of the book, we see this new Jerusalem descending from heaven, And that's going to be the dwelling place of the bride, and that's going to become the earthly dwelling place of God. And he is going to be right there in the center. Jesus is going to be there, and that's our ultimate destination. And so we see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth kind of becoming connected right there. Richard?
One of the points of confusion is that in the Gospels you see the kingdom of heaven all the time, and there was this big misunderstanding on the part of the Jews, Jesus' audience. They thought the kingdom of heaven meant that the Messiah was going to come and take over the world. And Jesus kept telling them, I'm here. And they misunderstood that, and they couldn't see him as the Messiah who was here to take away sin and provide salvation and all the rest of it. And so if we carry any of that idea across into the new covenant, then we carry that same confusion. But when we look at it in the way Bob was just describing, I think it's clarified, because Jesus is the king. Wherever he is his kingdom.
And so the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and it will be between heaven and earth?
Well, no, it's going to be on earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, part of that earth. New heavens and new earth
thing.
Yeah,
but and it's the answer to kind of the Lord's Prayer.
Let
it be here on earth as it is in heaven. So there's the kingdom of heaven. God is reigning there. And there's going to be a time where on earth where God is going to reign here. And that is going to be through this body of believers he calls the bride of Christ, the tabernacle, the body of Christ, the church.
And that would be like our forever family.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. I really do thank you, and God bless you.
Well, thanks for your call, Lori. We sure appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, thanks.
Okay.
God bless.
Well, God bless you as well. Let's go to our good friend Paul in Grand Rapids. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm glad to talk to you guys again. I want to make one thing clear. I'm a Calvinist, but I don't think only the Calvinists are going to go to heaven. Because I sing with a dispensationalist. We're good friends. I'm good friends with Baptists. The main thing is that we believe that Christ died on the cross and rose again in heaven. And I agree with what you teach all the time. I want you to know that.
Well, Paul, we appreciate that. And it's fun when we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You're a child of God that was saved by grace through faith. I'm a child of God that was saved by grace through faith. And because of that, we can fellowship. Our
agree with you more. I know I have a lot of friends with Baptists and dispensationalists and Reformed, and as long as they believe like you're always preaching, well, we're good friends in Christ.
Absolutely.
I just want you to know that.
And that transcends everything else. Well, Paul, we sure appreciate you and love hearing from you so often.
Yes.
So.
Well, I'd love to talk. Hear your program every day.
Well, thank you so much.
I wish there was more guys from Grand Rapids that would call up, but
yeah,
but I know that they got to be listening to your program.
Well, I sure hope so, and Paul, we sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
All right, bye bye, my friend.
Great to hear from you. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for Basic Gospel today. Every weekday, we are on the air, showing how the Basic Gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's you who make it possible for us to be on your station by your prayers and your financial support. To show our appreciation for your standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. We're in the final days of this offer, so make the call or go online as soon as you can to make your gift and request your copy. The number, 800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time today. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to review each day's broadcast, get on the email list. You can simply click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. And a reminder, too, that if this broadcast is beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel.